Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. I am so glad you are here. We are talking all about supervision this series, and we're actually going to kick it off with an article that is related to supervision as we're talking about supervisors, but somewhat different than what you might expect. My name's Matt. I'm obsessed with ABA. I love ABA research, and I am so excited to be able to share it with you today. So let's dive into Behavior Analysis in Practice by Martin Loya and colleagues. I'm one person, I can be everywhere, challenges and needs of the bilingual behavior analyst. So this article shines a light on a group of behavior analysts that oftentimes don't get the voice that they deserve, which is ironic because they give voice to so many other people that someone like me cannot. I'm a behavior analyst, I only speak English, and I live in Florida. As you can imagine, I've met with a bunch of clients who I either haven't been able to serve or have only been able to serve through the interpreter because of where I live and the language that I speak, or rather, the language that I don't speak, whether it be Spanish, ASL, or another language that my client speaks. Now, of course, it's unreasonable to expect for every BCBA to be able to serve every single person, but what matters is that at the end of the day, the client in front of us, oftentimes the child, gets really effective services. And when language is a barrier, it is one of the most significant barriers to effective service that can be entered into the equation. There's a couple different reasons for this. The first one is simply access to information. When I work with caregivers, when I work with clients, information is key to helping them make the changes in the environment so that they're going to be successful. You look at something as simple as functional communication training, something that you've probably taught dozens of times. One time I had to teach functional communication training through an interpreter, and it was a completely different experience, one that was very challenging. It took about three times as long, and frankly, I didn't think it was that effective versus when I'm teaching in English without the help of an interpreter. Another reason that language is such a barrier is the cultural nuances. Somebody who speaks the same language and has lived through the shared same experiences are inevitably going to be able to connect with that other person in a cultural way that another person is not able to. Things that could be completely lost on me, completely over my head as somebody who doesn't share the culture of the person that I'm speaking to, is commonplace and something that another BCBA who does speak that language has already accounted for. The language and the actual information transfer, plus the cultural struggles, definitely put a big barrier when you're not speaking the same language, when you don't have that shared cultural experience. Now, what happens in those scenarios? Unfortunately, there's not a lot of great solutions. There's translation apps, there is translation services, but oftentimes the best case scenario is to take that person, take that client, and put them in the care of somebody who can speak the language. So there can be ABA services provided in that native one-on-one language. Now, in a perfect world, that would be ideal. It would happen every time, and there would be no problem with it. But the reality is that the folks, for example, who speak Spanish and are BCBAs are few and far between in most places. If you take out certain communities, maybe South Florida, Texas, some other areas where there's a higher population of Spanish speakers, oftentimes in northern Jacksonville, where I am right now, there's not a lot of BCBAs who speak Spanish. So the few who do end up getting inundated with lots and lots of service requests. And that at its core is what this article is looking to address and support. Those are the people that this article was written for. See, those behavior analysts who take on oftentimes more clients, who have less of a say in the clients that they get, and are oftentimes working out of their competency because they're having to take this client, even if it's not something they would usually serve, well, they face a particular set of challenges that they need additional support in. So what did this article actually look to do? It was a survey-based article aimed to try and find what those bilingual providers need. So providers like me who speak English oftentimes refer cases to them, and then they get left with a bunch of cases. What do they need to actually support? It's not a perfect solution. We need more bilingual behavior analysts, but what can we do in the meantime? How can we support those who are currently on the front lines taking additional cases because of language? That's what this article aims to find out. They contacted a decent chunk of behavior analysts who are bilingual. They had 14 bilingual BCBAs or BCABAs working in California, Texas, Florida, Arizona, and Connecticut. It was a demographic and then semi-structured Zoom interview that they then coded and sorted. So here are the key findings. Here are the things that they found as they went through each one of those interviews and coded them individually. So the first barrier that they found was translation and interpretation burdens. They found that there was no formal training or resources for translating assessments. So let's say you're going to do the VB map. Your book is in English. Now you have to turn around and translate it into Spanish. Much easier said than done, especially for some of those complex verbal behavior milestones. Next, the constant cognitive strain of on-the-fly interpretation. This is something that I had not even considered. This is why this type of research is important. This is why I love seeing this type of stuff out there, even if it's not some massive experimental article about the effects of concurrent chains or whatever. This is why this stuff is important. I would have never considered constant cognitive strain in terms of translating, especially if, let's say, you're speaking English for 90% of your day, but then you have to translate, switch back to Spanish for 10% of your day. That back and forth is definitely going to be challenging. Next, they had some ethical gray zones when mapping behavior analytic terminology across languages. Another really interesting finding, once again, focused on that situation where you need resources, but you don't have the official quote-unquote resources, so you have to develop them yourselves. And who's to say that the terminology that you choose to develop is the quote-unquote right or best fit terminology of the science as a whole? Next, they found another categories of struggles was discrimination and microaggressions. Everything from accent and appearance-based biases from families and colleagues, requests for new BCBAs, being labeled as a certain type of clinician or certain type of intervention because of their way they intervened or the language and the families that they typically saw, and of course, discrimination based on those stereotypes. The next category was the overwork and blurred roles. This is the one that before reading this article, I was the most familiar with as I've seen it firsthand, having to refer clients. I worked in Arizona for a little bit. I've had to refer clients to a Spanish-speaking BCBA. And we had conversations about that particular challenge where she was like, yes, I can take the case, but we have to figure out a solution here because I'm very quickly maxing out, and there are other people who are asking for my help right now. So some of those specific things in that overwork and overburdened category was unpaid hours for translating, supporting families outside of ABA services, being almost like the resource guide, like the case manager, translator, everything all in one instead of just focusing on your ABA duties. And then finally, the increased ethical risk. Families seeing it more as a joint partnership, we're all in this together, versus that more traditional line in the sand, this is where a BCBA lives, this is where they don't. A great example of this, I was working in Arizona and I was asking another BCBA who spoke Spanish, how were they able to get into all their pediatrician's appointments? Care collaboration is a big passion of mine. And so they always had great care collaboration stories. And I was like, how are you able to do that? They said, it's really easy to get into the pediatrician's office when you're the ones translating for the family. See, the family could only schedule their pediatrician around this BCBA schedule because the pediatrician didn't want to have to schedule an interpreter. Now, that was a whole messy dual relationship situation. But anytime that BCBA needed to try to set those boundaries, that was something that came up. And it became a very messy case in terms of relationships when the BCBA was eventually transitioned off. And one of the reasons was because of those messy dual relationships. So, they're one person, they can't be everywhere. What did they specifically ask for? What are the things that we can do to help support our colleagues who are bilingual and serving multiple different folks? One of the first things is more materials, translated materials and glossaries, standardized Spanish assessments, bilingual ABA glossaries to ensure consistency. Now, this is not something that I can provide per se, but this is something that us other English-speaking BCBAs who aren't bilingual can start to support, provide space for. If there are tasks that your colleagues who are bilingual are needing to catch up on because they're spending all of this time in this unpaid translation work, this is stuff that we can take off their plate so that they can have time to better work on those translations during work hours or and actually serving their client when they should be versus, of course, at home when they're doing it. The other way that we can help in situations like this is to support those communities or those behavior analytic partnerships that are actually providing those translation services. Seek them out, support them, even if it's a share on social media. I'll try and tag a couple in the show notes below. Access to qualified ABA trained interpreters. This is for intakes, IEPs, and caregiver trainings, something where they don't have to be all roles wrapped up into one. They don't have to listen to the IEP meeting to then translate it and then respond. They can actually just respond in that meeting as they would as a BCBA, thus having another interpreter in the room. And finally, more bilingual staff, hiring more bilingual BCBAs and RBTs to help share the workload, reduce burnout, get them to the point where they don't have to be the only person communicating with this family because there are other bilingual staff. I think this is something where companies are starting to prioritize more and more hiring bilingual staff. I think that's a really good win for the ABA community in general. But ultimately, I think it's going to take some time for this specific effect to take place because companies, frankly, aren't going to want to pay more for bilingual staff unless we as a community start recognizing the value that it brings to the clients. And now finally, the training and professional development aspect. They want to see more culturally competent supervision and mentorship, DEI education for the monolingual providers, such as myself, what we're talking about here, but obviously much deeper, taught by someone with more experience in that area. And then finally, trainings that highlight the benefits of bilingualism and how to support heritage language use. There's some really interesting articles coming out now on verbal behavior. I think we'll eventually end up covering when we get to a verbal behavior month, but there's some really interesting stuff coming on just on the advantages of bilingualism and the advantages of teaching MANs in multiple languages, specifically the language native to the family. Just think about the term functional communication, right? Functional to the verbal community, right? So if your verbal community's native language is not the MAN you're learning, your MAN should probably be modified to fit the functional verbal community that it's going to be a part of. So what can we learn from this article? It's not exactly a hard supervision article, but one thing that I really liked about it is, one, as somebody who's licensed in Arizona, yeah, it was a problem I saw all the time, and it was something that I didn't have a solution to, but it's something I'm looking to learn more about and hopefully amplify for you. The other thing that I found is that just in terms of supervision, this is a group of people. People saw that there was a need to support this group, and they asked them what they needed, and then they gave them examples of what was needed. This is the same type of candid relationship that we need to be having with our RBTs, our supervisees, our behavior techs. This one-on-one, direct, this is what I need, this is what will make my job easier, okay, let's make it happen. Now, in terms of the bilingual BCBA piece, the field has to start addressing some of these ethical, structural, and cultural gaps to help support bilingual ABA providers. There are more and more kids of all races and all languages being diagnosed with autism, and therefore our science has to stretch and apply to more and more folks. And we can only do that by developing very specifically communities, people who support, and overall these bilingual mentorships, policy level changes to support the clients and the clinicians. All right, that was what I got for you for this article. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did too. I am super excited to be back. I'm super excited to share ABA research with you 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Go ahead, give it a like, a comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And I will see you in a couple days with another research review from the Behaviorist Book Club. See you next time.